since they wanna know. Since they wanna know. I said since they wanna know. Here's the formula on O, now let's go.
We're open for business, folks. It's business. Episode 5. We got some good shit coming up here. We're going to get to a quick B2B session. A few things that I wanted to hit on that I didn't from episode 4. Then we're going to have another member of the Better Business Bureau, Mr. Jake Toohey, joining us. Toohey's one of my best buddies, former roommate, collabed in a few different creative ventures, Cub fandom, etc. So we'll go over a few different things with Jake and entertaining stuff. And then, of course, we're going to bring back Katie Potatoes for another edition of Quarantaties to close things out. So a loaded show here. We're going to get right into it. Let's go with B2B. All right, so business to business, guys. A few things that I did miss from last episode. And first, with the feedback session, I did not totally explain leading up to it exactly what it was all about. I kind of just dove in head first. So that was all set up to have four comedians each pitching 3 minutes. Not really a performance particularly, but just talking through jokes, and then you get 1 minute of feedback from each comedian. So the whole idea is for everyone to actually be listening, so you're not really trying to laugh that much. By no means an open mic, not an audience by any stretch. However, you didn't need to act as if you were performing, although I did try to somewhat. So people were chuckling, you couldn't really hear it, but the primary goal was just to listen and provide some sort of constructive feedback. I wasn't great at the feedback given, you know, I'm new and I don't really want to step on toes, but, you know, gave something. So we are loaded here with guests coming up down the pipeline on Open for Business. So continue to stay tuned. I appreciate it very much. Hilarious folks. It'll definitely be entertaining. I can guarantee that much. Part of B2B, I'm also going to give a little bit of a peek inside of the mind on what type of content we're consuming here in the Open for Business studios. So it's going to be much more of a shot caller-esque episode. If you're looking for something to watch, read, here we have it. I'm just going to kind of give a few different quick hits. So first and foremost, you got to watch Never Have I Ever. It is a teen coming-of-age story on Netflix. Mindy Kaling, a phenomenal take on grief, looking inside how the Indian families work. Very hilarious, very well done, very well acted. We rifled through that real quick. Of course, if you're not watching Dave from Little Dicky, YouTube rap star, just genius dude, just made his own show, FX. It's absolutely phenomenal, genius. We checked out Upload. That is on Amazon Prime with from Greg Daniels from The Office fame, amongst others, as Simpsons and so on. So it's kind of a combination of The Good Place and Silicon Valley. Solid show for sure. That's a 10 episode. I think they're 30 minutes a pop, so real quick hits. Pretty easy. Right now, the book I'm putting down is The Splendid and the Vile, a saga of Churchill, family, and defiance during the Blitz. Eric Larson, same dude who wrote Devil in the White City, Dead Wake, amongst others. So that's what I'm doing right now in this quarantine. You know, we'd love to hear what you guys are up to. Feel free to email openforbusinesspod@gmail.com. But hey, without further ado, let's just get to it. This is Jake Toohey, member of the Better Business Bureau. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and now we here have Jake Toohey, a member of the Better Business Bureau. Former roommate of mine, one of my best buddies, Jake, thank you for joining Open for Business.
Tim, it is an honor to be here, and I'm very happy to get going with you and to be a part of the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing once you realize that stamp has been notarized, and you know we'll see what perks they come with as this thing moves forward, but so far, so good.
You know, as long as we're getting out there and I can participate, it's all I need.
Right on, man. But and just to give the audience like a quick background, and feel free, Jake, to chime in at any point. But I lived with Jake for a number of years during our formative 20s, you know, in Lincoln Park and whatnot. We had constantly communicated through G-Chat. You were kind of one of my security blankets, as I like to call them, through the, you know, corporate life, where I would be half-assing most different things and G-chatting with my friends when everyone else should probably be working, but either way, you were one of the guys always there, and I've always been kind of bouncing ideas off of you. We've been into various smaller creative ventures.
We have.
One was Let's Play Blue, the year the Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah, the one year that we did a blog, the Cubs won the World Series for the first time in 108 years. Coincidence? You tell me.
I don't know. That said, we definitely didn't take it seriously. We knew we had an audience of about 20 that would read the emails, but that was
The analytics always showed somebody from Brazil. We had one person in Brazil.
Right, yeah, and that's like, where did that come from, whether it would be a VPN or something? I don't know. That's ridiculous. But Let's Play Blue. The Cubs won the World Series that year. That was great, a little fun. We tried to get Tutty Time off the ground, which was a closed-circuit fantasy football television show.
Yes.
For
the short-lived.
Our league's eyes only.
Yes, and it was shot down by one of your former guests who was concerned that it would jeopardize any career opportunities that he might have in the future. So,
right. The 35 views on YouTube is really going to
score one out for Tutty Time.
So I don't know, Jake, you've been there through everything. I've known you forever. We were in each other's weddings, this, that, and the other. One thing that came to mind, I thought was funny, was back when I moved home for the first time after Komahui's, and I found myself still coming downtown a lot. And just after you and your now wife had moved in with one another,
right,
I was staying at your guys' place regularly for a number of years. And it never even like crossed my mind or anything. And my mom was just like, hey, do you think that that's all right?
I mean, your mom was the only one that thought that. We always loved having you down.
Now that's the thing. Like I like then got self-conscious, but you guys rest assured. I was like, hey, is this okay?
Because I mean, I've just been kicking it. Yeah.
Texting night of.
No, we loved having you when you'd come down. Gave us a little extra pep in our step.
Yeah. Good times. Noodle salad. I don't know. But anyway, man, so I thank you for jumping on. I appreciate it. I know you're a busy dude and it's not always easy to jump on a friend's podcast that wants to run over some material with, but here we are.
No, I love it. Let's do it.
So what I was thinking, and something that you had always gotten a kick out of, and I had mentioned a few days ago that I'd found an old notebook, and I was like, hey, boom, here, I can take out the old notebook, find some material, and just see if any of it's good, right?
So yeah.
I was reading through it and the first page like hit. And that's when we talked the other night. I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm excited about this. And then I cruise through the rest of the notebook and it is so much wasted space. It's not even funny.
But there's some gold.
Hopefully.
Well, I'll let you get into the whole thing, but you know how I feel about the voice that's come up, you know, a number of times on the pod and in your stand-up.
I do.
So I was very interested in, I'm interested to see where this goes, where we can take that, you know, real life character.
So I'm glad that you actually asked that. I'm also glad you all already knew where I was going, given that this wasn't in the outline, but yes, I was going to do the voice of the exaggerated voice of my grandpa. And I had some, that was in the old notebook that I came across. And that was probably the best stuff that I had. Now it's tough to comb through these because some of them have layers and I know that I'll have to kind of trim things off and also, you know, not get over aggressive on things of the past. But with that said, so one thing I actually did mention was on the golf course when my grandpa would be putting, he would all of a sudden just be like, come on, baby doll, turn into a teddy bear. So that was my first go-to within the podcast world.
Yeah.
I mentioned my grandpa's like little accent that I've kind of made my own over the years. And that's where I think that idea to bring that back came from. So that was one. Now there's a number of those of other ones that have like, they're slightly violent, some church parking lot incidents, car dealership, shotgun incident, so on and so forth. But I can only cover so much ground in the limited time that we have together tonight.
I would hope that we were going to cover the shotgun incident.
So, all right, well, I'll just jump to that right off the bat. I don't know the details. There's some funny in this. I don't know how I could make this material in a sense, and we'll get to how, what the hell I'm going to do moving forward a little bit later. But there was my grandpa back in the day on the south side of Chicago along Western Avenue. I want to say the 1950s, perhaps. He worked at car dealerships, and he actually worked a lot within the car dealership realm, whether it's at auctions, whatever. Now, he noticed that he was, I don't know what he was doing, whether he was like a service manager or sale, I honestly have no idea, but he was working at a car dealership and noticed that there was two dudes that came up robbing one of the guys that was on the lot, because people would bring, way back in the day, cash to buy cars, you know.
Yeah.
Things didn't work as they do now or whatever. And anyway, so the next thing they know is that, oh, you know what? I screwed up the story. Let me rephrase real quick. These guys robbed a dealership down the street. Then he got the call that they're coming your way. Like, these guys are robbing guys down Western. They're coming your way. Be prepared. And of course, you know, at these places, they have shotguns and shit like that. You know, it's like back in the day when, I don't know, I think that just.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. People probably do now. Anyway, and whatever happened, I think they did go to stick up a dude on the lot. And I don't think he was really much even paying attention, but he was shotgun through the giant double pane windows of these car dealerships, shotgun through the window and like barrel roll, just to scare him, because he couldn't really, he was too far away to hit him.
So your grandpa was the one that just shot through a window?
Yeah. Aimlessly.
Okay.
This is what I've been told. So that was the first one yet. So that was decent. We'll see. I mean, that's a little side. I could always be like, this guy was doing barrel roll shock, you know, shooting through the car dealership windows, but I'll have to kind of.
He's a protect his turf guy.
Speaking of, my dad would work with him quite a bit. And even my dad was a kid. He was like 16, 17. And there was this guy that worked around my grandpa. Can't remember where, it might have been at the stockyards. He worked like at the stockyards and shit. Like, he's been like, for real, like for years he was working at the Chicago stockyards. Yeah. And so he's tough and like, you got to be kind of gnarly, I think, to be down there. But he would bring my dad, he'd bring my dad a lot, and my dad would work there too. And he, this one guy who would worked for my grandpa, was kind of like a kind of a loony. He kept threatening my dad with like a switchblade, and not like he was going to actually do anything. Like, kind of just maybe messing with him, you know, who knows? This is 4 years ago, but being like, yeah, Mahoney, like, you think you're hot shit. Like, I'll cut you with this blade or something. And then my grandpa found out, he just came up and he was like, hey, Lewis, you think yourself, you're little hot shit with your little switchblade there. Now I'm a hammer man. And that was it. Lewis never even mentioned it, didn't pull his knife, fell in line, and never messed with my dad ever again. And like, the I am a hammer man bit is like exactly who my grandpa was.
So
like,
yeah, you gotta mark that down.
Right.
I'm a hammer man. That's gotta be part of something.
Right. And like, these need to be one-offs, because yeah, the story,
and lest we forget, Big Tom is not like a small guy. Like, I wouldn't fuck with Big Tom.
No, I mean, this is when he was like 16.
Okay.
So there's that. There was, you know, he always says, I zigged when I should have zagged. And if you do, like, when you, like, if I run into a wall or something, he's like, you zigged when you should have zagged. Yeah, this is another one. There was a moment in the church parking lot. I don't know how happy my family's going to be about telling these stories.
Did they listen?
But these are innocent enough and like 50, 60 years ago.
Hi, Mrs. Mahoney.
All good. That's, this is my dad's dad, but either way, church parking lot, some guy like was like just crossing the street while my grandpa was driving with the family in the car. You know, they had five kids. Yeah, four kids. And dude's crossing the street with his wife or something, but he steps right in front of my grandpa's car and like gives my grandpa a dirty look. Not having it. He gets out of the car and he just goes, you're sitting there and you're looking at me, but I should be looking at you. And like, I mean, he always says I myself. And I think that's something I can always just like bring it back to. and make like a character out of it in a sense. Not make a caricature out of my grandpa, but almost take that.
No.
Something, you know, I don't know.
I mean, I I think all of these, like, first of all, the one-liners are money. I mean, obviously you got to set something up with, you know, about your grandpa, and it depends on what your venue is and what your situation, you know, you might only have a couple minutes, but not only are you great with the voice, it's just a great voice in general.
And the Rock of Gibraltar.
Yeah, there you go. You throw some one-liners in there. I mean, like, this is it. It writes itself.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Maybe I'm oversimplifying this, but
I don't know, man. That's like there's so much in the well here.
Yeah,
it's not even funny.
That's my favorite stuff that you've done when you've done like on stage. Like, that's where I laugh the most is when you just throw those in there.
No joke.
I know the voice. I know your grandpa to some degree, just through
right,
you.
Right. Totally.
So I get it already. So that we got to figure out a way to introduce your grandpa and the voice and the one-liners while making it organic with your stories.
Right on. Totally. And I think that there's definitely ways to approach that. Like, he's one of those dudes that like worked in the stockyards, worked. I think he actually still works to this day. He's still alive. He's like,
is he?
Oh yeah. He's like 90.
Does he listen?
He just turned 93, 92. He might listen. Shout out grandpa. But he's like, he worked literally maybe up until a year ago, like every day at car auctions. When he was 85, he got into a fight. And one of my aunts, he came back, he's over at their house, like for dinner, and notices a mark on his arm, and like, dad, what's that on your arm? He goes, oh, that's nothing. And she's like, dad, what's that? And he's like, I got into it at the auction. And, I got to find out from one of my cousins what the next line was. It slipped in my mind, but it had to be something that was like, you should have seen the other man. I don't know. You know, he always clears his throat like. Now I notice I do that all the time.
Hey, pass it down.
But yeah, he's great, and it's funny just like thinking about that sort of thing, could kind of just bring material to the surface.
Yeah, where, I mean, like,
come on, baby, turn into a teddy bear. Like, anytime you say to someone, it's so bizarre
that it can like, work in any situation.
Yeah, and it's like, oh wait, he was trying to make a putt. Oh, that actually. I understand he was trying to make the baby doll turn into a teddy bear. Never mind. Let's move on. So that's kind of what I had prepared, dude. Honestly, when I read the first two pages of this notebook the other day and was like, oh yeah, man, I got plenty of stuff to go off of. I started flipping through the other pages and it is so much just nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, that's to be expected. Total when throwaway. You're just getting your stuff on paper.
Yeah, I mean, this is from years ago, too, so it's all kinds of shit I forgot about or,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
But, how many notebooks do you have?
Well, probably like 3 or 4 notebooks, but most of my stuff is on the computer.
Okay.
You know, I do like a journal.
I just think it's interesting to think back like that. You find a couple of good things in an old notebook that you haven't thought about. You know, can kind of get the juices flowing, get the wheels turning.
Yeah, and that's where we are today. So I'm going to try to like work on that and mold that into the existing stuff that we have from the previous episodes and try to get that, you know, and make it somewhat funny whenever we'll be able to make people laugh in public again.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, has your, I can't remember his name, the guy from Irish Oak?
Pat. Yeah. Truer. Yeah, he was on last episode.
Yeah. Did he have any thoughts of when this might be your, you know, possibility?
No, I never got into that with him.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, you've been listening, involved in the background to an extent. You know, I've always been pitching ideas. I think I told you I was doing a podcast for about 6 years or so. And finally here we are.
And we're here.
I don't know. What am I doing here moving forward? Like, given that I don't think that we're going to be able to perform anytime soon. I don't even know if I'm that funny in the stand-up perspective.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know, Jake. I'm looking.
Oh, here. Okay. So the one thing you got to know is that you always get laughs in person with your friends and they're not pity laughs. So, you know, you're funny and you got the time to really kind of craft your comedic persona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but like I wanted to ask you actually, like what there's a couple things that I've never had the balls to go up and do like stand up. I think it would be fun. I think it would be interesting, but it'd probably fucking stink. But so like, what do you do when you're fitting something into 5 minutes? Cause I've always thought about this and I'm always like, what would be the best way to do it? Like, do you like try to get a laugh every 30 seconds? Like, do you go like boom or bust and you do like a big setup? And then at the end, like you'd like go for the big laugh. And if you get it, that's great. But if you don't, then, you know, you're a chump. Overthinking this?
No, I mean, it's a great question, Jake.
Thank you.
But no, that was funny because with what Pat had mentioned in episode 4, that's something where he was like, well, you just have to go up and really at open mic specifically when you have something such as 5 minutes, you have to get out whatever you want to get out when you go up. Mm-hmm. And what I thought when I first did this a month or two, I don't know time anymore, but maybe 2 months ago, it was very much like I was trying to make it a story and have hitters in the middle of, you know, the actual narrative where I thought I was going to get laughs. I didn't. But then I also had like something where I was going to bring it full circle to be like, oh, and like, and then I had 20 missed calls, text messages. It was like the same joke, but from somewhat of a different angle. And it was supposed to close out the whole thing. So that was what I wanted to do.
That's got to be tough. Like a 5 minute narrative.
For sure. And it was tough and it didn't work. So that's one thing I actually learned was I am a storyteller. I'm never going to be a dude who's going to have to like hit like one-liner jokes one after the other.
Like a Mitch Hedberg type.
Nope, no good at that. I can't do it. I'm not Twitter funny, if that means anything to you.
No, I'm
familiar. Unless you know me, I'm not someone who's writing funny tweets that are universally left
at. Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, one of my favorite things of what you
do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. Like, I mean, that's a very specific skill.
Right. But I also equate that to like being able to do one-liner joke writing.
Yeah.
If there is such a thing, you know?
No, there is. That's that is literally Mitch Hedberg, one of my favorite comics of all time. I actually wanted to ask you who your favorite comics are as well. The other thing I was thinking is that one of my favorite things when you were doing your stand-up stuff is your laugh. I mean, you have a contagious laugh.
Yeah.
And when you laugh, you get the audience. Well, I mean, but the audience agrees with you.
Yes.
When you laugh, you laugh at yourself. Like your self-deprecation is really pretty great. And then, like, you know, you get the audience with you. So that's like just another thing that, you know, if you ever have to fall back on something, you've got it in your back pocket. The laugh is great. Just wanted to tell you that.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I admire your laugh.
I appreciate that. And the thing is, too, I mean, as long as I can remember, early on when I thought about doing, you know, stuff in comedy when I was like a teenager, you know, I mean, even when I was a little kid, I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live and whatever, but, you know, a lot of people do. One thing I knew when I was like 16, 17, I was getting a bigger kick out of myself than most of the other people around me. And I mean, like, I was laughing after every one of my little jokes or bits. And I also don't want to be one of those dudes, that, like a comedian that laughs at every single one of his jokes, because it can very annoying. However, fitting it in can kind of, I think, pick the crowd up a bit.
Yes, I agree. And it's, I mean, when the jokes didn't land, that's where it was like, you would just be like, well, okay, that one didn't land.
Yeah.
And you would laugh and people would, you know, they get back on board with you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're admitting defeat.
And then you go from there.
Admitting defeat. I'm vulnerable up here. Come on, let's restart the show.
Yeah.
Next bit. I don't know, dude. There's so much to work on. It's so much to think about, even just doing one of these things. That's why I love the fact that not love the fact that we're in quarantine, but now I have time to actually like mold something. And if stand-up isn't it, another thing that kind of freaked me out is you hear from anyone who gets into stand-up is like, oh, they're doing multiple open mics a night. They're doing 100, you know, a year if like on the low end. And I'm not going to do that. I know that for a fact. Like I'm not going out. I'm not that guy, but I know I can get better still. And you never know, if you catch fire, something might happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, that is the most hardcore, like, you know, Comedy Cellar in New York kind of things where like these comics hang out with each other. They bounce ideas off each other, but you're bouncing ideas off of your friends.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I think I know what I think's funny. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're not going to – it's a lot to ask to do 6 open mics a week.
Mm-hmm. As we get older.
Or 6 open mics a weekend, you know? So, you know, you have to craft in the meantime between sets. That's what you got to figure out. And not, you know – this quarantine gives you the opportunity to maybe come up with multiple sets.
For sure. And it helps me think about it. And like, I don't know. I think one thing too, I could do moving forward is like more writing. And then do I want to even put a blog out there that I know not many people are going to read, but might attract more listeners and have more quick hits into the mind? I don't know. Like what, I think there's many angles we could take this thing. It doesn't need to be like just stand-up comedy. Given that I can't do stand-up comedy.
I mean, I think a blog with a video, with like the video being like too long, didn't read.
Okay.
So you got like, you know, you could just test out jokes. You could test out stories. Is this funny? You know, and then you could give a background in the blog, which may give more context, but I think you fucking do whatever. Try anything.
Yeah, seriously. And that's the thing is like,
what's the,
I write every single day. Why not make it purposeful?
No. So I got to know, I have a question for you and I'm being sincere. When things go back to normal ish, when are you going to be comfortable letting, you know, your pals come in?
I mean, right away. See
you perform.
Everyone's going to want to get at that point. Yeah? Let's get nuts. Right, you want to get nuts?
Open
let's
it up.
Get nuts.
Let's go.
Because honest to God, JP. When at that point comes, everyone's going to be itching to get out so bad. And all I'm going to want to do.
I'll go. There in the we go.
I mean, we're
going
to have to do what we have to do. Who knows what this is going to look like, but when we can, and it's safe, like unprecedented happiness.
Oh yeah.
And people are going to want to laugh.
Oh yeah. That's
so then I can get really good
audience.
Real good. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why my recordings are going to sound awesome. And I'll bring it back to the pod and be like, yo, just killed again. Post quarantine. Everyone loves everything. This is how we're rocking.
Yeah.
This is how we're rolling. What up? This is T-Business. We're open for business again.
You could do a rap thing. Dude, that could be like, one of your, that could be one of your bits.
I have. Now that's the other thing. I have a lot of musical talents as well that people don't
see.
Know
that's where we need to get you like 15 minutes. Because we need a grandpa bit.
All right.
And then you need to go into like the rap bit.
We're going to come to the conclusion that open for business is just me figuring out if
and
I'm
your,
funny or not.
And
in
your Netflix special will be called We're Just Figuring It Out.
Just trying to figure this whole goddamn thing out, man. All right. Well, hey, Jake, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. Honestly, member of the Better Business Bureau, one of my best friends. Super creative dude, great musician, unbelievable athlete, by the way.
Stop it.
That's how we met back in the day, U of I baseball. But hey, man, thanks so much. Fucking come back on board again. I have a few special things planned in the future that I'm going to want you to partake in, and then we'll
anytime, Timbo. Right, thanks for having me, man. Love you.
You the man, bro. All right, here we are with another edition of Quarantaties with my lovely wife, Katie Patates. Patates, welcome back to the show. We missed you last week.
Hey, thanks, Tim Tam. I know.
Or last 3 weeks ago, I should say. Let's just call it, we missed you in episode 4.
There you go.
Welcome back in episode 5.
Thanks. I don't know if I was getting fired or what.
No, Tates, you know what? We just kind of had a packed show and couldn't fit you in.
Whatevs.
It's not like I don't know where you live in your the studio.
Where I am 24/7.
Open for Business Studios is also overtaking your office space, your work from home office space. Has that been interfering in your work home life at this point?
Not yet, no.
Okay. I know, I do understand that you might get annoyed when the microphones are up for an extended period of time and not in use.
Well, just the clutter.
Visual noise, we like to call it here in the Mahoney household. Anyways, welcome back. We do love having you. I get nothing but positive feedback about Katie Potatoes, and I also had, you know, people asking where you were last go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, quite a bit. So, anyways, moving on. What one thing I've noticed, and this is kind of funny, and want to talk about just a few different things that have been interesting to me in quarantine times.
Uh-huh.
When the other day, when Zooming with, you know, we had the friends doing like the gaming thing as people are doing globally.
Which warms my heart. I actually feel like we're
staying connected and engaged. Yeah. And also it's nice just to talk to other people as well.
Besides each other.
Right. Which is great, but you know how it is.
Yes.
And one thing that to me was, you had just kind of like started tapping me on the shoulder and we're like, Tim, Roy died.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of a trivia session. I'm like, what? Roy? And I'm like, now I'm a little bit concerned, but also I could tell it wasn't
like,
serious.
Who is Roy?
You're like, Tim Roy from Siegfried and Roy. As if it would be like a devastating blow, or not devastating blow, but like it would, I'd really take it to heart. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
That sucks.
Like when Tom Petty died, it was like a famous person and it was like,
that would garner a serious reaction.
Yeah.
I just didn't have that kind of, like, rest in peace, Roy. I didn't have that kind of connection. I had thought that he was already dead due to tiger attack.
Yes. You did say that. I think you said, isn't he already dead?
But
I was like, well, no.
Why did you think that it was just, were you just shocked that he was?
I guess maybe.
Another corona?
I don't know. I guess it just surprised me.
And this isn't funny. It's just funny that.
It's not.
That it was, that you thought it was going to have some sort of impact? I don't know. Well, rest in peace, Roy of Siegfried and Roy. He was a coronavirus victim, but we are hearing random celebrity death news, you know, throughout this entire year, really.
Which we should clarify, we're not making jokes about that. It's very sad.
No, it's more the situation of how we're reacting to them in this time. That said, now on the other side of the coin, now this is where I'm a complete idiot. And it's just very naive, and I don't think I was awake at the time, but I had mentioned, oh shit, like Little Richie died.
Uh-huh.
Little Richard. And for whatever reason, I made like some offhand comment. I go, well, yeah, well, let me see if people are going to be playing all his songs like they did Prince when he died, or Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And it was there's an obtuse, unaware comment that I only made to you. It's not like I was tweeting this
right.
stuff.
Right, thank goodness.
And like, then it dawned on me, and I admit the first search I did was rock and roll would not exist without Little Richie.
Uh-huh.
Elvis Presley would not exist without Little Richie. The Beatles opened for Little Richie and claim him as the influence of getting into rock. Like, the biggest miss I've ever made on like a little offhand comment about let's see if people are going to be playing Tutti Frutti.
Well, which is interesting because
he's the absolute legend, literally.
Right? And well, and we both are like really into music, so it must have just been your brain wasn't.
It had to be, and I think I knew that too. Yeah. I think I knew all this. It was
well, then how many articles did we read coming out throughout the day? So like the rest of the day, I'd be like, "Did you
there
see
would
this
not
article?
Be Elvis Presley without Little Richard." So big
really
swing and
funny.
A miss there. I felt like an idiot, but something to kind of, you know, laugh about when just being dumb, and it was a ridiculous jump. It took one search, one article, but either way, that's where we are in quarantine. And I got just one more little quarantine tidbit. In these weird times, you know, like sometimes some days we're up and down. We've been pretty good at supporting one another.
Yeah.
Me and you aren't always on the same on page. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yesterday I was a little bit off.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you know, we ordered a pizza. We like to do pizza on Friday nights.
Support local biz.
Very much look forward to it throughout the entire week.
We talk about it on usually Monday.
And not going to mention the pizza place. I loved it. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
However, I had ordered a sixer of Miller Lite to be delivered. You know, I wanted to have a couple beers. It was Friday night.
Right.
Miller Lite, the great taste, less fillings. And delivered was Budweiser.
Yes. Now
you can vouch, I almost teared up in the kitchen and almost started crying because it was Budweiser.
That is true.
I almost cried because another domestic beer was delivered as opposed to what I had wanted. Now, this is very much first world quarantine Tim Tam.
100%.
Not good for, not a good look for business to start crying over a sixer of beer being delivered when there's like a liquor store within three blocks any which direction, and it was also sunny and nice.
That's true.
But they did actually rectify the problem and gave me a refund. I did make the call. If it was any other light beer, I would have been absolutely fine with it.
Natty Light?
I'm sure I would have been okay. I just, Budweiser and me, we don't mix. I know people like it. I know you've enjoyed it
that
in the
past.
That
was my jam.
I understand. This is just a taste, a personal preference thing.
I'm a
Miller
Lite
man. And when I expected the Miller Lite and saw warm Budweiser, it really just hit a nerve. And I think I was having just one of those weird days where quarantine gets to us all. And if you're having one of those days, don't worry. Everyone else is. It's just the nature of the beast right now. Mm-hmm. So, guys, that's all we really got. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Potatoes. You were going to chime in.
Speaking of, like, you know, having days, it's funny. I was talking to our neighbors, Nick and Nathan.
Yeah.
Who we love. And Nathan was saying, he was like, you know, like, this was on yesterday. I was speaking with him. So on Thursday, he was like, dude, I was just having one of those days where I was like, I was just off. I wasn't in the mood. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I'm like, everybody has those days. And luckily, hopefully, if you are quarantining with someone, like you said, the days are, it's a different day. It's like your bad quarantine hell day is different than like your spouse's quarantine hell day. So then they can kind of lift you up when, you know, things look pretty bleak, like the winter of despair, I think, is what they're calling the winter of 2020, which is a bit scary.
Totally. Totally. It is scary, but I mean, what else can we do right now but try to have positive attitudes?
That's true. And the sun is out today.
The sun's out today. I mean, this is a beautiful Saturday here in the city of Chicago. We're going to get out and about and get some fresh air and stay safe.
Town.
And hopefully these things get a little bit back to normal much more sooner than later. But hey, thank you again. Quarantades or Katie Potatoes during Quarantades.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we know we all love you, and we're going to be sure to have you in on episode 6 as well.
Chill.
All right. Thanks, Tades. All right, and thanks again. That was Quarantades. Thank you, Katie Potatoes, and as well as Jake Tuohy, member of the Better Business Bureau, for coming on and chatting. Wonderful time. Guys, I promise, do not miss episode 6. It is going to be absolutely hysterical. We got a very, very, very funny guest lined up. It's a can't miss, and same really goes for 7 and 8 because we have a solid pipeline and foundation here moving forward. So, all right, have a good one. Stay
since safe. They want to know. Since they want to know. I said since they want to know. Here's the formula on O, now let's go.